Greetings and welcome back to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzhak Etshalom, and it's my pleasure to be studying Sefer Shmuel with you tonight. We are studying Shmuel Bet Perek Yod Tet, the 19th chapter of the second book of Samuel, and we are continuing on, picking up where David finds out and hears the news that Avshalom has been killed, which on the one hand is good news, the battle is over, his kingdom has been restored, his monarchy has been safeguarded, and nonetheless his son, his beloved son, is dead. What is his reaction? Vayugaz hamelech vayal aliyat ha-sha'ar vayevk. So David was angry, and he went up to the upper level of the gate where the lookout had been, and he cried. V'chomar belechto, this is what he said as he walked. Bini Avshalom, Bini, v'ni Avshalom. My son, Avshalom, my son Avshalom. Mi yiten muti ani tachtecha Avshalom b'ni v'ni. Who would give my death in place of yours? I wish I were dead instead of you. This is clearly a very tragic moment in David's life, but more critically for our purposes, a very tragic and disappointing moment in the life of all the people who have supported David in his sojourn and stay in Machanaim. Vayugad liyoav, hinei ha-melech bacha, vayit'abel al Avshalom. And so Yoav was given the word that David is weeping and crying over Avshalom. Vatiyat shuva b'yom ahu le'eva l'chol ha'am. And so the salvation on that day became a source of mourning. Everybody heard, all his soldiers, everybody heard that David was mourning over his son. And everyone snuck into the city. Like people who are running away from war. Instead of marching in triumphantly and gladly and loudly, they walked around sneaking into the city so they wouldn't see David. He covered his face, vayizak ha-melech kol gadol, and he cried out with a great voice, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni V'ni. That was his plaint. Now Yoav is going to step up. Vayavo Yoav el ha-melech ha-bayit. Yoav came to the king's temporary palace. Vayomer hovashta hayom at pnei chol avadecha. You have shamed the face of all of your servants. Hamaltim nafshecha, the ones who have saved you. Hayom, nefesh banecha uvnotecha, they've saved your sons and your daughters. You forget, you're mourning over one son, but there's all these other sons and daughters of yours that were saved. V'nefesh nashecha, v'nefesh pilagshecha, and your wives and concubines. And what have you done? Le'ahava et sonecha v'lisnot ohavecha. Hating, loving those who hate you, and hating those who love you. Why? Ki gadita hayom ke'en l'chasarim v'avadim ki yadat. You have basically communicated to your people that you have no loyal servants or ministers. Ki yadati hayom ki lu Avshalom chai v'chulanu hayom metim ki az ashar b'necha. What I know today, meaning what I'm getting from you, is that Avshalom were alive and we were all dead, then you'd be happy. V'ata kum tse. Now you need to get up and go out. V'daber al lev avadecha. You have to speak to the heart of your servants. You have to speak to them sincerely. Ki ba'adonai nishbati. I'm taking an oath by God. Ki encha yotze. Im yalin ish itach halayla. V'ra'alacha zot mikol ha-ra'a sheba alecha v'nirecha ra'ata. He said, you better just go out and speak to them, because I'm swearing by God, because if you don't go out, nobody's going to stay with you tonight. You're going to be finished. And this will be worse than anything else that you've ever had occur to you. You're going to have everyone turn their back on you. You better understand, David, that this is the time that you have to step up and speak to your loyalists. Vayakom ha-melech, vayesha bashar. So the king came out, came to the gate, ulechol ha'am, higidu leimor, and they told everyone, hinei ha-melech yoshev bashar. So they told, everyone was told that the king is out by the gate. Vayavo chol ha'am lifnei ha-melech, v'Yisrael nas ish lo halav. And everyone came to the king. In the meantime, all of Israel had run back to their tents, meaning all of Avshalom's people. Vayichol ha'am nadon mechol shivtei Yisrael leimor, ha-melech yitzilanu mikaf oyveinu, v'miltanu mikaf plishtim, v'atam barach min ha'aretz mi'al Avshalom. And now the scene switches back to Eretz Yisrael. Everyone gathered together and said, or they were judged, and they said, the king, meaning David, who had saved us from our enemies, and he saved us from the plishtim, and now he's run away. V'Avshalom asher ashachmo aleinu meit b'milchama. And now the Avshalom, who we anointed over us, is dead. in war, why are you silent and why are you not immediately returning the proper king back to his place? So David sent a message to Tzadok and Avatar, who remember he had left in Yerushalayim. Go speak to the elders of Yehuda, saying to them, why are you the last ones to bring me back? After all, you are from my Shevet. I'm hearing from everybody else that they want me to come back. Why are you the last ones to speak up? You're my brothers. You're my flesh and blood. Why are you the last ones? Now, Amasa is the one who's really in the hot seat here, because Amasa, who's a relative of David, was named the chief of staff of Avshalom. He's still alive. And David, as he did with Avner, understands that by making a treaty and extending a hand of friendship to the chief of staff of the enemy, he can bridge many gaps. Your family. Again, we see that oath formula. You will be my chief of staff in place of Yoav. Why in place of Yoav? Because Yoav, of course, violated David's words and directly killed Avshalom. And he brought all of Ish Yudah together. And they all turned to back to the king and said, please come back with all of your servants. Vayashav HaMelech, and the king returned. But he's not all the way back yet. There's a journey to take. Vayavo Ad HaYarden, he came to the Jordan. V'Yehudam Bah HaGilgal Alalecha Likrat HaMelech. And evidently, this means representatives of Yehuda came to Gilgal, which is right at the Yarden, the place where Bnei Israel had first camped when they entered the land. So there's a re-entering going on. They went there to greet the king, L'Havir HaMelech Ad HaYarden, to help him cross the Yarden and to escort him. And now, who is the person who's really in the hot seat? If you recall, Shimei ben Gera had cursed the king when the king was on his way out, and so now, as smart as he is, Vaymaher Shimei ben Gera ben Haimini. So this Benjaminite, Asher ben Bachurim, who was from the town of Bachurim, right outside of Yerushalayim, Vayeredim Ish Yehuda likrat HaMelech David. He came down with the people of Yehuda. Ve'elef Ishimom Binyamin, he brought 1,000 men with him from Binyamin. V'tzivan na'ar beit Shaul, v'chamesh nasar banav v'asrim avadav ito. And evidently, somehow, Tziva, who had gone with the king, was now with Shimei, and his 15 sons and 20 servants, we heard about them already. V'tzalchu ha'yarden, they quickly crossed the Yarden, l'fnei ha'melech. V'yavraha arvara l'havir et beit ha'melech v'asot atov meinav, so they all set up a crossing to bring all of the king's people and all of his household to do what was good in his eyes. V'shimei ben Gera nafal l'fnei ha'melech b'overo b'yarden. And as the king crossed the Yarden, Shimei ben Gera was right there opposite him, fell on his face. V'yomer l'ha'melech, al yachashov li adoni avon, do not remind me and do not remember my sin. The day that my master, the king, left Yerushalayim, that terrible thing that I did, please pay no attention to it. I know that I've sinned. This is a very interesting use of the words. He describes himself, even though he's from Binyamin, as a member of Beit Yosef, and evidently it means that in the many years in which Shevet Binyamin was there, they had aligned themselves with Beit Yosef. There's already an allusion to this in the beginning of Sefer Shoftim in Perak Aleph, when Beit Yosef come and conquer Beit El, which seems to be really in Binyamin's territory. And I am the first of Beit Yosef to come to greet the king. Vayana Avishai ben Tsruya Vayomar Tachat Zot Lo Yumat Shimei. What, Shimei shouldn't die for this? Again, Avishai, as we've seen before, wants to kill David's detractors. And notice how Avishai says it. He doesn't say he cursed you. He said he cursed the anointed one of God. And remember, David, what you told me? That I have to be very careful not to hurt Shaul, because how can you hurt the anointed of God? Well, that's what he did. David, again, he says the same phrase. Why are you and I fighting, Bnei Tsruya? Why are you being like a prosecutor? Somebody who's trying to turn me away. Hayom yumat ish b'Yisrael. Should anyone die today? Today is the day that I know for sure I'm the king. Today is a day of celebration, reminding us, of course, of what happened at the end of Perek Yudalet of Shmuel Aleph, when Yonatan was not going to be killed, because today was a great day of great salvation. The king said to Shimei, you will not die. Now, that is something nobody could say to any other person. Everyone's going to die. So what does Lo Tamut mean? Clearly in the context, and we see this from Malachim Aleph, Perek Bet, it means David is saying, I won't kill you. But that doesn't mean that you're not liable for death for what you said to the king. And indeed, Shlomo takes care of that, but that's something that we'll leave for Sefer Malachim. In the meantime, if you recall, Tziva had come to the king as he was leaving Yerushalayim. The king said, where's Mephibosheth? And he said, oh, Mephibosheth's waiting to now become the king, to have the kingdom restored to him. Now what happens when David returns? Mephibosheth ben Shaul yarad likrat hamelech. He came to see the king, to the Ardain. And for somebody who's limping, that's not so easy. Who's lame, that's not so easy. Lo asar aglav, lo asas famo. Lo asar aglav may be a euphemism, and it may me just refer that he didn't clean his legs, and he didn't shave his mustache. Veb gadav lo kibes, he didn't clean his clothes. Mehayom lechad hamelech ad hayom ashabah v'shalom. From the day the king had left until now, he had not cleaned his clothes. In other words, he was actively behaving like a mourner while David was gone. As he came to Shalim to greet the king, the king said to him, why didn't you come with me? And of course David has his own image of why, his own interpretation of why Mephibosheth didn't come. Because after all, Mephibosheth was waiting, this was an opportunity to take over, the way Tziva told him. He said, my servant fooled me. What I told him was, I want you to saddle up the donkey, and I want to ride on it and go to the king, because I'm lame, I can't go. And he said that he lied, Vayragel, from Lashon Rechilut, he blasphemed me, he slandered me to you. And that, in other words, Mephibosheth is aware that the story that Tziva told, and he says, you are malach Elohim, like an angel of God, do whatever's right in your eyes. You want to kill me, whatever it is. Because originally my household was all dead men to you. And instead you placed me as somebody eating at your house, on your table. I have no more claims. I have no more rights. I have no more right to lizok al melech. We spoke about this in Perek Yudalad and Shmuel Bet, about the custom of being able to approach the king and to cry out for help, for the king to intervene. Mephibosheth admits that he has no more rights like that. And so therefore, whatever you're going to do is fine. From al melech, lamat berod dvarecha. Amarti atav tziva tachlikut asadeh. And David basically goes back and says, my original agreement with you still stands. I told you, you and Tziva will split the field. Now, that's not what the king had originally said. What the king had originally said was, you'll have the field and Tziva will work for you. So, he's lost some. Mephibosheth said, let him have all of it. Now that you've come home in peace, I'm happy. If he gets the whole field, that's fine. That's the story of Mephibosheth. And now we go to Barzilai HaGiladi, who was one of the three wealthy men who had helped David. Yarad Miroglim. He came down from Roglim, which is, again, one of the towns on the way out near Yerushalayim. Yavor Tamalach HaYarden L'Shachor TaYarden. And he crossed with the king. He came with the king to the Yarden. Sorry, Roglim is on the other side. And he came with the king to the Yarden to help him cross. Barzilai Zaken Miod Ben Shmonim Shana. He's 80 years old. And he took care of the king when the king was sitting in Machanayim. He was very wealthy. So now the king wants to pay him back. He said to Barzilai, you cross with me. I will take care of you in Yerushalayim. How much longer do I have to live? I should go to Yerushalayim. How long am I going to live and enjoy it there? Ben Shmonim Shana Anochi Ayom. I'm already 80 years old today. Ha'ida ben tov l'rad. Do I know that it's in good and bad? In other words, I'm already half dead. Imit am avdecha et asher ochal. Do I can I even taste what I eat? Et asher eshteh, what I drink? Imashma od b'kol shorim sharod. Can I even enjoy music anymore? Ve'avdecha od l'masai l'adonai melech. I can't. I won't be able to enjoy what you have to give me in Yerushalayim, and I'll just be a burden on you. But he says, Kim'at yavor avdecha et ha'arden et ha'melech. I will cross with you to the Yarden. I'll cross part of the Yarden with you, but you don't have to pay me all that back. Let me go back and I'll die in my city. Im kever avivi me, and I'll be buried with my parents' grave. But I have a servant, Kimham, let him cross with you. And you could treat him as much as well, nice as you want. He'll represent me. You could pay him back. So the king says, okay, let him cross with me. And I will do what's good in your eyes, which means taking him, and whatever you've chosen, that's what I will do for you. In other words, you've chosen not to come, but to send him, I'll take care of him. So they all crossed the Yarden. The king went past, and the king kissed Barzillai. Kisses in Tanakh are nearly always a sign of farewell. Witness Ruth and Naomi and Orpah, the first chapter of Ruth. Now the king came to Gilgal, the Chimhan, variation of Chimham, Avar Imo is now his valet. So all of Yehuda came now to bring the king up to Yerushalayim and half of the Israel, the north. And now they get no fight. The northern people came to the king. Why are the people of Yehuda stealing you from us? Why are they the ones crossing your household over the Yarden? So the people of Yehuda said to Yisrael, first of all, he's one of my family. Why are you so angry? Have we eaten of the king? Has he favored us in any way? We're just bringing our family member back. I have 10 times as many supporters of the king as you do. Why have you treated me disgracefully? So even David's return turns out to be a source of dispute and fight between the north and the south. Wasn't I first to bring him back? Remember the complaint David had. Yisrael is ready to bring him back and Yehuda is not. In the meantime, Yehuda's claims that they have the right to bring David back and to claim as their own were stronger than the claim of Yisrael, and that's how that piece ended. So we see even in David's successful return, when David is preaching relax and not to take vengeance on people, nonetheless, these two leader groups are fighting with each other. What we'll see in the next parak is that there is still some very severe and important cleanup to take care of in the aftermath of Avshalom's rebellion. We will get to that as promised in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a nice day.